We have been doing some studying. God has been telling us that he's taking us to a new level, and that is really exciting. But this is kind of like a war game. You know, when this whole battle of good and evil began, it's kind of like a war game, you know. God set up the rules, but he set up fair rules. The devil thinks that he can win people away from God, and God believes his love will capture you to himself. You get to choose who wins your life, who wins your soul for all eternity, who wins your life for here and now. But the rules of the game are, when God is going to a new level, he also has to release the enemy to a new level. So when a church, a body of Christ, is getting ready to go to a higher level with God, attacks are also going to increase. The fun thing is that God has a plan so that he always gets to win.
Amen.
And we're walking into that plan right now. And we're walking into that time right now. So today's message is called In That Day. Get ready. Micah chapter 4. I set out with our watchmen. We kind of divided up some scriptures that God's getting ready to expound to us. And I drew the book of Micah. So I read the book of Micah. Again, I've tallied it 13 times in the last couple of years I've read this book. As I read through this book, every time I got to chapter 4, the spirit in me just started jerking and getting hit and leaping. And I read through again chapter 4. It's the only chapter that really gripped me. I said, I got it, God. You want me to focus on chapter 4 today? So everything we're going to do here that comes from Micah will come from chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. Father, we ask that you anoint your word because our words are powerless and useless. Father, we don't just want to hear with our ears or our emotions. We want to hear in the spirit. For you are spirit, and they that worship you must worship you in spirit. They that serve you must serve you in spirit. God, just go past our understanding. Go past our feelings. Awaken our spirits today. Call us back to life in the spirit realm. Quicken your words to us by your power, your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. But in the last days, it shall come to pass. Now, they thought 2,000 years ago was the last days. If they were the last days, what are we? The last or last days. We're the real last days. They began then, but we are really closer to them now. That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. Let's take that first verse. The mountain of the high place, the mountain represents the presence of God. All through scripture, he says Mount Zion, meaning the very presence of God. Mount Hor, Mount Sinai, where Moses left everything of worldliness, and he pursued a relationship with God. He said, I will turn aside and I will see this great God. And he went up to the mountain, right to the burning bush that everyone else was scared to go to. Because he said, even if it kills me, I'm going up there and see God. So the mountain indicates the place of God's very real presence. And he said, in these last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord is the church today. So God said, the peak, the top of the presence of God is where he's taking the church. He's taking us up the mountain. I kind of excited when I read that. When we call this place the mountain half the time, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, burning bush. It's all about the mountain. It's all about the presence of God, being able to get there and live there in his very presence. And God said that he's going to establish the church in the top of the mountain, the very height of his presence. That's where he wants to take us.
Amen.
That's his plan, to establish it there. And it shall be exalted above the hills. What are the hills? I think the hills are church as we have known. They're not totally carnal. They meet Jesus and they raise up to a spiritual place where they know Jesus is real, but they're content. Okay, I worship him on Sunday. Okay, I don't go out and sleep with people and commit fornication. I don't go out and steal and murder. I don't do any of that. I got all that junk out of my life, and I'm content right here. God's blessing my family. I go to church on Sunday. I tithe my money. I teach Sunday school. I'm fine right there on the hilltop. We're not fine on the hilltop. We want to go to the top of the very mountain.
Amen.
That requires some getting ready. Because God, our God, is a consuming fire.
Amen.
And this morning in the prayer circle, I had a vision. And we were just seeking Him and loving Him and standing under the waterfall as He poured His presence on us. And suddenly I saw His hand reach down. And it was like He was a distance. But He is light. And I saw the light from His hand touching us. And He said, oh, my heart aches that I could come to where you are and lay my very hand on you. But if I did, it would burn you up and you would die instantly. But some people, as they let that fire refine them and burn away the things that are not of God, they come closer and closer and closer. Well, we're going to come up to that mountain, to the very fire of God.
Amen.
It's going to take some burning away the things that are not God. It's going to take some commitment and decision on your part. My life isn't about me. Where do I live? What do I have? What do I own? What do I get to do? Am I bored today? Am I happy today? Forget all that. You were created with a purpose.
Amen.
We hear that all the time. But God said, who will cry restore? Restore. Restore them to the purpose they were created for. Restore my people to the way I created them. Restore them to why they're here, what their life is, where they belong, what I'm trying to do. This life is this long. Eternity is billions of years long. Where are you going to be? What is our eternal purpose? It's more than this life. This life is just the place of choice, the valley of decision.
Amen.
What are you going to do with God? What are you going to let God do with you? Come up out of your grave of dead religion. Come up out of the deadness of worldly living, carnality, things that just don't really matter. Come up out of complacency, indifference, cold-heartedness, sin habits, self-pleasure. I must be entertained all the time. Am I having fun? Come up out of that shallow life onto the mountain of God's presence.
Amen.
It's a choice. Who will come up? Jeremiah 49:19 says, behold, he shall come, the enemy. He shall come up like a lion from the swelling of Jordan against the habitation of the strong. The enemy is going to come against this very church. This is the habitation of the strong in God. And the enemy is going to come here and attack. God said, but I will suddenly make him run away from her.
Amen. Yeah.
And who is a chosen man? Let me read that again. Who is a chosen person that I may appoint over her? Who is a chosen one of God that he can appoint over his people, over his church? Who is like me? Who will appoint me the time?
There you go.
Who is that shepherd that will stand before me? I love that he put shepherd there. Because Harvey's an apostle. He's an overseer. I'm a prophet and a teacher. I'm an overseer. We apostle together. But who are the shepherds? Who are the shepherds? Who are the pastors? A shepherd, a pastor, God comes and he puts some people inside of your heart, inside of your spirit, and you are supposed to watch over them. You are supposed to shepherd them. All of you are supposed to be shepherds. Some of you shepherd a church. Some of you shepherd a youth group. Some of you shepherd children. Some of you shepherd senior saints. Some of you shepherd mentally ill. Some of you shepherd prisoners. But all of you are called to shepherd someone. And the only one that can do it in power is the one who will give God time. Because you see, if you go out and do it in your love, it's powerless. If you go out and do it in your strength and your wisdom and your knowledge, powerless. You must come from the place of His presence. You have to go into the very presence of the real, living God and carry His presence with you so that when you minister to someone, the Spirit of God is ministering to their spirit in power to change their life.
Amen.
You're a useless shepherd if you don't appoint Him the time to go into His presence. You must. Who? God says, who? He's searching, searching, searching. Who will give me time? Who will stand before me? Stand before me, my shepherd. Hear the words at my mouth. Know what I'm telling you. Go where I'm sending you. Give me your life. Hosea 11:7 says, and my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. God said, my people come. They come and they say, oh God, you're my life. But now I'm going to the football game, and now I'm all caught up in my TV shows, and all of my friends came over today. I was going to worship today. I was going to pray today. I'm going to try to worship. Oh God, I love you. I really love you. You are the choice of my day. What are they doing over there? And they backslide. We come into the presence of God. We go out and we face life and situations, and we backslide. Sign language. I'm with God, but I backslide. I keep falling back away from Him. And we do because we're sinful. We have to keep coming back with Him. Every day, come back with Him. Don't say you don't have time. Because you have 24 hours a day, and if you only gave 30 minutes of it to God, only gave 30 minutes out of 24 hours. Is that a question or a praise?
Well, it's actually just a reminder to everybody. There's 168 hours in a week, so we're really...
Yeah, but I don't want to talk weeks. I'm talking days, because this needs to be every day. Because we can go 168 hours in a week. I can give God 1 hour. No, that's not enough.
No.
That's not it. Because you can do that on Sunday, give Him 2 hours and forget Him all week. It's daily, daily, daily. And He knows your life, moms with six kids. He knows you don't have what I have. He knows you can't get up and go for Him 2 hours at a time in the morning because the kids aren't going to let you. I raised kids, I know. I didn't get to write when all my kids were home. I had to get up in the middle of the night and try to write, and then I was too tired and I was a grumpy mom. He knows where He's placed you. He knows where you're at. But make some time. Take the kids there with you. I want to see you in your holiness. I got a cold on top of a bad voice. Take them there with you. Kids love to worship.
Amen.
They love to read the Word. There's a time to take your kids there and teach them that as a daily habit. And there's a time for you to go there alone where God can get serious with you on an adult level. Make the time. If you say you don't have it, then get up 30 minutes earlier than you are right now. Or stay up 30 minutes later. Janiyah's a night person. She'd rather probably stay up 30 minutes at night. I like, you know, this 5 o'clock, my ticker starts slowing down. I kind of drown away from Harvey. I'll get out at 9, 10, 11 o'clock in bed, and he's trying to say, let's talk about God. And I'm going, huh? I don't work so well at night. I have to do it in the morning. I love 5:30 in the morning. I love it because I know I'm going to get 3 hours before anyone else wants to get up. I like that. I like that. That's my time. Those little babies come running up those stairs in the morning. Nanny, can I be with you? Downstairs. It's not your turn. And that's not easy, because I like those kids. I like them. The house of the Lord. Do you want to live on a hill? Or do you want to go up to the mountain? Because there's a lot of churches, hilltop churches. There's a lot of them. They're not wrong, and God's not mad at them. He's glad they chose Him. He's glad they come to church on Sunday. He's glad they're going to get into heaven. But that's not enough for me. That's not enough for burning bushes. Burning bush.
Nope.
The bush is going to burn here, so if you want to get burned, you better get right or don't come around the burning bush. It is going to burn. This church is going up.
Amen.
Verse 2, part of 1 and then 2. First on the end of part 1, it says, people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. People are going to flow. I love the word flow because I've seen church stampedes. I have seen moves of God that became a stampede. One day you got 50 people. The next day you got 300, 400, 500. Suddenly there's 4,000 people. And they're coming from everywhere, and they run into the church, and they go, I want to feel good. I want to get touched. I want to get healed. I want the blessing. I want the miracle. Give me new teeth. Let go of this fall. All the miracles are happening. And then the miracles stop, and they run back out, and they're gone. They're all miracle seekers. They're party seekers.
Right.
And they go, where is it happening? Let's go there. No, he said he's going to establish this church.
Yep.
He's going to make it strong and stable.
Amen.
For the war with the enemy.
Amen.
This is serious business. It's not a game. It's not where can you go that you're going to get a miracle. It's where can you go that you're going to get your life transformed.
Yep.
And then stay there. Stay there or go where God sends you to take that transformation to
right.
someone else. I don't want to stampede. I want to flow. I want to flow. Because a steady flow is going to flow in and they're going to get everything God has for them. And then they're going to be sent out to take that flow
yep.
wherever God wants them to go. I don't want 4,000 people here. I want you here until you find out who you are, you get your healing, you meet Jesus and truly meet Jesus so he's real in your
yes.
life, and you give your life to him, you get your healing, you get your repentance, you get your deliverance, you get your call. You find out what you were put here to do, and you get trained for it, and you get experience in it. And then we want to send you out there with it to go where you need to go to spread the work. I want a flow, not a stampede.
Amen.
Right now we're having a flow. Right now we're having a little trickle flow. It's going to increase. You that are here, that have been here, you have to get in your place. You have to learn who you are, stand in your place, take your place, so we're ready for the flow.
Amen.
So we're ready when God brings them in
Amen.
To minister to them. Some of you know you're ready. You know you're at the place you ought to be taking your stand. Some of you are just ready to enter your training. Some of you are not even there yet, but that's okay. You are where you are. Let's grow where we're at.
Amen.
And they said, let us go. Let us go. See, when you really get God's heart, you won't go alone. You want to tell everybody you know.
Amen.
God is real. I met him. I was a shy person. That's hard to believe right now. But I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't really care about other people. I was scared of people. I lived inside my little shell. I don't want anybody to talk to me, and I won't talk to them. But when I met Jesus, I told everybody I met. I went, wow, God is real. I met God. He's real, and he's awesome, and he's everything I ever wanted. And all that hurting and longing and aching and emptiness is filled. And I got to tell everybody. I told strangers. I told everybody. That's what happens when you meet the real living God. This is why I was going to play that one song this morning. We still might do it. He will teach us his ways. Verse 2. Let's keep going on verse 2. Nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from that mountain, that Zion, and the word of the Lord from Zion. When you come, it's to be taught his ways, to learn a new way to live, and to have the power to live a new way. The law will go forth out of this church. The word of God is preached and taught. It's strengthening, it's stabilizing, it's life-giving, it's powerful. The word has to be preached. A lot of places have gone into worship, dance and sing. I like to dance and sing. Some people have a problem with that kind of music this morning, all hoopla and running and shouting. But God likes you to get alive. I mean, sometimes he's got to play the rock music just to wake you up. I love the mellow soaking stuff. But you know what? Sometimes we put on the mellow stuff and you all just sit out there and don't even get involved. So sometimes we need a little punch, you know, just to get woke up. But the word of God has got to come forth. And then the judgment is coming. Look at verse 3. And he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. I used to think, first of all, if you want to know, is this to us? This is Old Testament. This is prophecy that did not yet happen. It's for the last days. It's for the last days. You can't just ignore the Old Testament. The prophet spoke about our time, our life. We need to know what they were saying and recognize when it's here. God wrote these things for us
right.
to read. Many nations will come. Judgment is coming. Judgment 1 Peter 4:17 begins at the house of God.
Amen.
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall be the end of those that obey not the gospel of God? Wow. It's looking pretty grim for those out there that don't come to Christ. And God is their only hope, but His hope is through us.
Amen.
His hope is that He works through us,
that's
through His
right.
church, through His people. True judgment will break the chains of sin and bondage and deception and set captives free. If we agree with judgment, if we would agree with our own judgment, God comes and says, you are guilty of unforgiveness. You go, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not guilty of unforgiveness. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They're the ones that did the sin. But if you agree with the judgment when God says, whatever they did to you, you are guilty of not forgiving them. And you would go, you are right, God. You are right. I'm guilty of unforgiveness. Agree with the judgment that comes. 1 Corinthians 11:31. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What it means is if you would rightfully agree with God's judgment and repent, then you would not be condemned. You would not face judgment of condemnation, judgment of sickness, judgment of death, judgment of loss, judgment of affliction, because you are going to hang on to that sin. All sin brings death. Romans says the wages of sin is death.
Right.
Every single sin brings you closer to death. Every one of them. And there are sins that bring rapid death. Witchcraft. Adultery. Disrespect to parents. There was another one you named the other day. What was it? What was that?
About the watchman.
The watchman in a church. God sets them on guard. And He says, when I give you a warning and you don't give that warning, that person's blood is on your hands if they die in their sin. That's Old Testament. God is a little, you know, long-suffering and wants to lead you to repentance. He's not going, well, you didn't tell them today, you're dying today. No, He's going to come and say, you didn't tell them. You didn't tell them. And you should have told them. They're suffering because you didn't tell them. And you repent. Every repentance removes the sentence of death. Every repentance removes the sentence of death for that sin. We need to be good repenters if you want to live a long time.
Amen.
Be a good repenter. We're going to hold all the questions until I'm done because I want to get to the end of it. And then I'll ask, if you've got a pen and a paper, write down your comments, your questions, whatever, and we'll take them at the end. The power of God is stronger than the power of the enemy. In verse 3, He says, He shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. God's word versus violence. Violence is wicked. Violence is not of God. Why do we love to watch it? Why do we like to watch gory movies? I hate Halloween. I hate Halloween. Axe murderers, dressing your kids up like demons and witches. It's a wicked, horrible thing. God hates violence. He doesn't want us to be entertained by watching the chainsaw murders. That is wicked. It grieves His heart. It grieves His heart. Every drop of blood is precious to God. He gave us that blood. It is His blood. We tainted it with our sin. And He shall judge. I want you to look at plows, because when He judges and they give up their swords, a sword, He said a sword is going to be reshaped into a plow. So we're going to take these swords that are capable of cutting your skin, stabbing you, your flesh, maybe cut through your muscles or wound your organs, spill your blood, take your physical life. That's a sword. But God said, we're going to put that sword back in the fire, melt it down warm, and we're going to reshape it into a plow. Because the sword of God is like a plow. It turns everything inside of a person. It takes that shallow ground and it digs deep and it goes way down in and it brings to surface the things we're hiding down low. It plows into the spirit realm. And the Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick. That means it's alive. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder, splitting wide open, dividing apart your soul and your spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of your heart. God's sword is His Word. His Word. We talk about swinging swords and lopping off the heads of demons. What is the sword? The Word of God. That's the power. The Word of God will plow deep into you, into your spirit. Uncover what's there so He can get rid of it. Pick the stones out of all that earth so He can plant good seed. Hebrews 4:13 said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest or made known in His sight. All things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. When we come into the presence of God, that is He with whom we have to do. That is He whom we have to answer to, whom we will account of ourselves to. And everything in our life is naked before Him. There is nothing hidden. He said that, Revelation 1:16, that He had in His right hand 7 stars, and out of His mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. And His countenance was as the sun that shines in His strength. Out of His mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. That means He spoke the living Word.
Amen.
And it was powerful. Powerful. Revelation 2:16 brings the warning, repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Do you see His sword, His Word, as a plow? How it can turn up your life, reveal. Invite Him to do that. God, bring Your Word into my ground.
Yes.
Turn up everything. Get all the stones and rocks and weeds out of me, because I want to be Your garden. I want to be planted by God. Prepare for the planting. And He turned their spears into pruning shears. In verse 3, He said He turned their spears into pruning shears. God will prune away the things that are dead in your life because they suck the life out of you. They steal your nourishment. There are things in your life that might not be sin. You might be a dedicated, loving Christian, but there's still things in your life that aren't feeding your soul. They're draining some nourishment from you. When you take a plant and there's dead leaves all over it, you cut them off so the green leaves get more nourishment. And those dead things are not taking away. Even trees, you know, they start getting all out of shape. Out of shape, it's still green, but it's wacko shape. And they prune it. They cut things away to bring it back in shape. It doesn't mean it has to be something sinful. Just something that's keeping you from being shaped the way God wants you shaped right now. So He will prune us. We have to invite Him to prune us. We have to agree with this pruning. We might hang on to things and say, but there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with this. No, there's not. But is it taking away your nourishment? Is it hindering your growth? And look at Micah 4:4 for some results of those who get pruned and plowed by God and come into the judgment and allow God to refine them with His fire. But they shall set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God said, you will now sit under your own vine, under your own fig tree. A vine and a fig tree are two different things. What He's telling you is you're going to come into your place where you fit, into the place you belong. You are going to be in your own calling, the real purpose of your life, knowing who you really are, and you're going to be content there. And you're going to be confident because God has spoken it. He has said, this is where I'm placing you. And suddenly you realize, this is what I was born to do. And you're content. When I was first called into the death work, I didn't want to do it. And God changes where He puts us throughout our life. But I went and learned sign language just to be with my friend. And then I ended up with God telling me I had to interpret sermons in the church. I didn't want to do it. I did not want to stand in front. I did not want to interpret. And I didn't want to know the deaf people. I didn't have a heart for deaf people. But when I said yes, and I began to interpret, and I began to let myself know them. For one thing, Before I was a deaf interpreter, my friends would call me Stoneface. I didn't give you an expression over anything. You could drop dead in front of me and I'd say, somebody better call an ambulance. I showed no expressions at all. A deaf interpreter, 90% of the communication is your face. You have to use your face when you interpret. So God was breaking me out of my frigid, frozen inability to show any expression. So it was a tool in his hand. But I fell so in love with the deaf people. I fell so in love with them. Once I took my place, I loved it. I loved them. I walk in the church. I didn't even see the hearing people. My eyes were straight to that deaf corner. Who's here? Where's the people? I love these people. These are my people. You guys are all phony. Deafs are real and open and honest. You guys all play that social game, you know. I come in front of the deaf and I'm in an ugly dress and they go, ew, ugly dress. You probably walk up and say, oh, you got a new dress. And they're real. They're honest. They're like children. Well, they were 30 years ago. I think they've got more educated now, so I don't know if they're still that open. Back then, they hadn't been exposed to all of our social fakeness. We have to invite God to do this if we want to get in our place. Freedom and purpose. And no one can make them afraid anymore because they knew their God. We'll know Him, we'll trust Him, we'll be confident. When you know God has told you what to say, you can speak it with total confidence. There's a confidence. I didn't have confidence when I was younger. It was like, well, what if I'm wrong? I don't know, should I say yes or should I say no? What if I'm wrong? But when I go to God and He says, the answer is no. The answer is no. And I'm sure of it. I have no doubt about it. When I bring you His Word, I have been with Him. I have asked Him, what do you want me to say? And that's why when I bring it, I'm confident. I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what God shared with me. And I can be confident in that. I'm not confident in any of my opinions. I'm not confident in my emotions at all. But I'm confident in what God tells me. And when you're walking with Him, you'll have confidence, safety. All you have to do is find out His Word for you. Believe it, accept it, and do it. And you can live confidently. Everyone is going to make a choice. Everyone is going to make an eternal choice. Micah 4:5. For all people will walk everyone in the name of his God. Little g, God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. You will make a choice with your life. Because if you do not choose to walk in the ways of the Lord God of heaven,
amen,
you have chosen to walk in the ways of your God.
Right.
The God of self-pleasure. The God of lust. The God of carnality. The God of wealth and money. The God of fame. The God of self-will. If that's the God that you choose to live your life in, that is the God you will choose forever and ever. The God you walk with is the God you chose. In that day, Micah 4:6. I love this part. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halted, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. Her that halteth means the lame, the weak. God said, I am coming to heal those who are weak. I'm coming to heal them. The outcast that didn't seem to fit, those who have been rejected, God is coming to gather you. He's gathering you together to be His people. Her that I have afflicted. God has afflicted some people by His discipline with a purpose to bring you back into the path.
Exactly.
It's a good father. You're out there doing what you shouldn't. Affliction. Come back to where you belong. Blessing.
Amen.
He's going to bring in those who are under affliction and discipline. They will come back to His presence, to the mountain, to learn His ways, to walk in His ways, to judge your own sin and ways, and to be set in your place in the body of Christ. Verse 7, and I will make her that halted a remnant. That means when I come and I destroy a whole city, but I save the remnant, those are the few chosen ones that were saved out. The whole world is full of sin, but He's going to take the weak and pull them out to be His remnant.
Amen.
the chosen ones, the ones who think they have no strength, her that is driven out like an outcast. God says, I am going to reign over Mount Zion from henceforth forevermore and make them my people, my strong, accepted, healed, restored people. Church leaders, Micah 4:8. Church leaders, and you, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto you shall it come, even the former dominion and the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now that may sound confusing to you, but today's modern church of Jesus is the daughter of Jerusalem. It's the new Jerusalem. It's the bride of Christ. We go to Revelation. I'll give you these references. Revelation 21:2 and then 21:9 through 14. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. And there came unto me one of the seven angels that had the seven vials full of seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come up, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Is not the church the bride of Christ, the Lamb's wife? And then he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. The bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, is the church. She comes like a city, having the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. It's a diamond. In the Bible, they call diamonds jaspers, clear as crystal. You, everyone, are a reflection of a different facet of God, put all together, one big diamond city, all God's people, every reflection of God that has accepted Christ, one big shining diamond called the New Jerusalem. And had a wall high and 12 gates, and the gates of 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. That's the original Jerusalem, God's chosen people, 12 tribes. And on the east 3 and north 3 gates and south 3 gates and west 3 gates. And on the wall of the city were 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The foundation of the new church, New Testament church, that's us, laid upon the 12 apostles in the New Testament that formed the church. That's us, the bride of Christ. Amen. With the 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people, who will come into Christ, becoming part of the New Jerusalem.
Right.
It's all put together. God's chosen people and his church, the Gentile church, together. That's the New Jerusalem. That's the daughter of Jerusalem. And he said, the stronghold tower of Zion, you will come, the former dominion, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong verse. Where was I at here? The kingdom coming to the daughter of Jerusalem. The kingdom of God is coming to the church. That's us, daughter of Jerusalem. Now to the watchmen and intercessors, look at verse 9. Why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in thee? Are your counselors perished? For pains have taken you like a woman in travail. If you are an intercessor who is walking with God, you've probably been having some grieving going on in your spirit. You've probably been crying out in your spirit. And God says, why are you doing it? Because God has put that in you so that you would pray. God does everything he does through prayer. So he comes upon us and his spirit will begin to grieve and to pray to bring forth. God moves through prayer. We pray, we release the Holy Spirit to go and do. So he says in 10, Be in pain, and labor to bring forth what God is doing, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. For now shall you go forth out of the city. I'm going to break this down for you. Now you shall go forth out of the city. Get out of your busyness, intercessors. If you are called to pray for the church, now is the time to come out of your busyness. Give up some TV shows. Give up some shopping time. Go alone. Get out of the city of busyness and get alone with God and let the Holy Spirit intercede through you for what he's wanting to bring here into the church. And you shall dwell in the field. In prayer, he's going to take you to the fields that are white for the harvest. He's going to take you to intercede for the people that he's wanting to harvest and bring in. And you shall go even to Babylon, the enemy's camp, through prayer. You're going to march into the enemy's camp and take back those captives, those prisoners that the devil is holding. You're going to do these things through prayer, through intercession. Who's an intercessor? Can't say the word. Who's an intercessor? Who knows your call to intercession here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. More? David? 6? Okay. God has given me a vision of sevens. I want to see 7 teams of people here.
Seven.
Not teaching it today. Oops. 7 teams. 7 teams of people set up. One of those teams will be intercessors. One will be watchmen. One will be prophets. I mean, we have teachers. We have pastors. We have different ministries of the church. I like to see 7 teams and then 7 on each team eventually. We're going to start where we are. I saw 5 adult hands and 1 child. Maybe he is called. Maybe the Spirit told him to raise his hand. Are you trained in it? Are you doing it? Are you in your place as an intercessor? It's time to get in your place and hear the Spirit and pray for those things He wants you to pray. It is time. It is time. Into Babylon, and there shall you be delivered. I can't start interceding because I'm not delivered. God said, when you surrender to your call to pray, while you're praying for others, you will get delivered.
Right.
There in the midst of intercession, you will be delivered. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. If you're called to be an intercessor and you're waiting until you break all the bonds of your life, forget it. It's going to happen while you're doing it.
Amen.
God's not looking for perfect people. He's looking for willing people,
Amen.
Obedient people. We have to labor to bring forth what God wants to do here at Burning Bush. We have to labor like a woman in birth pains to birth this thing that God is doing. I wrote something in yellow and I can't read it. Then there's the warning in Micah 4:11, a warning to us. Watchmen also. Watchmen are intercessors, okay? But intercessors might not be watchmen. You might be one who stays in your prayer closet and prays and prays and prays intercession, but in the church service, you're not a watchman to be set in a place to watch for the enemy's attacks on that meeting or even at home for God to reveal to you the attacks coming so that you can war against it. But if you're a watchman, you are also an intercessor because the things you see, you have to pray about. So you will be an intercessor over the things of the watchman. And over the body, because God will reveal things to you going on in the body that need to be prayed for to be broken out of the body. So you have to have a heart that so loves the people that when you see their sin, you don't despise them. You don't go, oh, I can't believe they did that. But you are grieved in spirit. You want to deliver them out of it because
Amen.
You love them.
Amen.
So the watchmen have to be set in place. I would love to see 7 watchmen. Today we're going to set 4 watchmen in a few minutes. We're going to set 4 watchmen. They've already been watching. You see, when people are already doing something, they can come to the leaders and say, have you noticed my watchmen? Yeah, I know who they are. I know the ones that have been doing it. Have you noticed my pastors who have a heart for the sheep? Oh, yeah, I saw that. Well, then anoint them and put them in a position. So today we're going to appoint 4 watchmen. We had a meeting with them the other night. I don't even know if I told you we're going to appoint them today. I think we talked about it. Now I'm going, check. Did you and Harvey say today?
Yes.
We did. Okay, I thought we did. It's been a long week. I want to make sure. Long life. We had a meeting. Those 4 and myself, we are studying. We are preparing a watchman training class. So if you feel like you're a watchman, basically, you see God reveals to you when the enemy is attacking the body or how he's going to come and attack it, and you see that in the spirit realm, and you feel led to pray to break that attack and not let it happen. If that excites you and you think that is you, then when we have this training class, you need to come to it. And even if you're not sure if that's you, but you think it might be, you might be interested, come to the class. By the end of the class, you'll know yes, that's me, or, oh, no, I'm out of here. That's not my call. When it's not your call, it doesn't excite you. You just go, no way, I don't want to do that. You might not want to do that even if you're called, but you know. It's the only thing you can do. You got to do it. So we're going to be having that class in 4:11. We get the warning. Now also many nations are gathered against you that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. Curiosity. Let our eye look on that mountain of God. What's going on up there? Let's go in there. The demons come and say, let's go find out what God's up to so we can plan our strategy. And let's go in there and see if we can't defile that church and ruin that body and mess up the work of God. That's our point. So he comes in to attack and to tempt and to defile the house of God so he can make a good plan on how to mess up the church. But the enemy cannot understand the things of God in verse 12. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel. They are confused. Even when they come, they end up confused. They just don't understand it. The threshing floor. For he shall gather them as sheaves into the floor. Threshing is what they do to separate husks from corn, separate chaff from wheat. And they would, in the threshing floors, they would like bring it in and they would take these tools and they would beat it to make all the chaff fly, and then a fan or a wind would blow the chaff away. So we only kept the good wheat. So when God says he's taken us to a threshing floor, what he means, it's time to beat the devil out of us. It's time to thrash the world out of us. It's time just to preserve the good wheat of God in you and get rid of everything else. He says, I will make your horn iron. Iron is the symbol of the strength and the power of the presence of God. He's going to make us powerful in anointing of his presence and his strength. This is the promise of God. As you bring forth his word in whatever capacity he sets you in, he promises to give you his strength and his anointing. I will make your hoofs brass to stomp on the devil. And I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. This is not loss for the people getting threshed. It is gain for them. They gain their life back. They get their freedom. They get to be who they really are. And then I will consecrate their substance to the Lord of the whole earth. The substance of the person, the true substance of who they really are. God will consecrate, set apart what they truly were born to do and who they really are unto himself. So now they can have a live relationship with God. Threshing is coming. Micah 5:1, the last verse here for Micah. Gather yourself in troops, O daughter of troops. Gather yourself in troops. Daughter of Jerusalem is the church. Church, gather yourself in teams. Put yourself together in teams like soldiers. Which troop do you belong in? Intercessors, watchmen, pastors, teachers. What's your team? Get on your team and get strengthened up by your team members. You are a soldier of God, and it's time to get through boot camp because the war is close. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world.
Amen.
As we form these teams and train these teams, we are going to be a safe, established, strengthened, anointed church that can go to the mountaintop. I hope you won't be offended. But if you don't come to training, if you do not surrender your life and get trained, you can't minister here.
Amen.
You can't. You can't come here once a month and say, today I'm going to minister. What team are you on? Are you accountable to your teammates? Because they watch for your soul. I want these teams to be thicker than blood. I want them closer than family. I want them to be accountable to each other. If Patty's on my team, and Patty's backsliding, and God tells me, I'm going to call her up. I'm going to say, what's the matter, Patty? God said you backslid today. And you know what she's going to say? Thank you, I needed that.
Right.
Because she didn't want to backslide. I don't want to backslide. Teams that are committed to hold each other up before God and be honest and open and vulnerable, because we want the presence of God. If you're not on a team, you cannot just come in here and play church. Oh, I want to get up and preach today. Are you on a team? Are you surrendered? Are you accountable to somebody here? Are you a trained minister? Now, we're not going to restrict the Holy Spirit. We're not going to restrict him. There could be a visitor here who is on a team somewhere else. There could be a visitor here that God sends here with a word for us. And we're going to check that. We're going to check with other teams and say, I feel like God wants us to let this person do this. What do you think? It could be one of you who's not trained yet, but God says, I'm training them through letting them do this. Let them do it. But we're going to let God be free and not the enemy. So it's not a free-for-all.
Nope.
Everybody just come in and do whatever you want because we
nope.
have freedom. God has freedom. Not
right.
the flesh, not the devil,
right.
but God.
Right. Amen.
So if a team says, I don't feel good about it, we're not going to let them do it.
Right.
If the whole team says, yeah, I never saw the person before, but God says, yeah. Okay, we're going to let them do it. But it's going to be checked by the teams. So we're not restricting God, we're releasing God.
Amen.
We're releasing him. Isaiah 21, 5-6 says, prepare the table. Watch in the watchtower. Prepare the table means get ready to serve the word of God. Get ready to bring the food and nourish the people. And watch in the watchtower. Eat, drink, arise, you princes, and anoint the shield. So while we're eating and drinking and enjoying God, you can lay on the floor and just check out on the spirit realm, and you don't have to be afraid because somebody's watching over you. Somebody's guarding you. You're safe. He says, while you eat and drink, while you nourish yourself on the Lord, have the watchman in their place for safety. Have the watchman set. In verse 6, For thus hath the Lord said unto me, go set a watchman and let him declare what he sees. So today we're going to anoint the shield. The shield of protection around this body would be the watchman. Today we're going to anoint those watchmen, pray over them, and set them in their place. We have four who've been doing it. Some, they'll be doing it more powerfully once they're anointed into that position. And then they're going to bring training for others who believe you are to be a watchman. Please let us know. These watchmen you see up here today, let me know, let them know, let us know if you're interested in being trained. We're going to be training for prophets, teachers, all sorts of things, pastoring. But this is the first thing because we need to be safe while we're doing everything. So I'm going to call Janiah and Dudley Smith, Anna Weeks, and Patty Fisher Bausma. And Harvey Hampton. You need to be doing this too because you're the apostle here, okay?
Yes, dear. Mary, bear that. Yes.
Let's stand here so they can face the church.
Yes,
ma'am. We're interrupting Jonathan's dinner. So.
Thanks, Wayne, for getting that.
You settle this thing.
I like that we have two nursing mothers on each end of this group. I like that for some reason. There's something to that. That nurturing, nursing spirit there. Mm-hmm. Father, we just are so thankful that we have four. Four. That's awesome. And we're asking you today that you would anoint the shield for Burning Bush and that you would set these four watchmen on their guard in their place. Father, that you would bring an anointing of your presence, your power, your strength, your vision into the spirit realm, your revelation of the enemy and what he's up to, that you would open their eyes to see far into the distance what he's planning to do, that they might foil his attacks. We pray that they would have a heart of love for the body of people here, that they would watch over them, guard them, protect them, and that they would have compassion as they set them free and deliver them through prayer from the enemy's attacks here. Father, we ask for boldness. We ask for you to do extra searching and cleansing and refining them for their position. We just ask you to set them in their place today by your power, by your choice, by the Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, God, falling upon them this morning and anointing them into their position. Thank you, Jesus. No words. In the name of Jesus, we just speak the anointing of the watchman. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Strength and power. Thank you, Jesus. We rebuke the attacks of the enemy as he would seek to destroy and displace. Father, we ask that you give them eyes of eagles. Eyes of eagles and ears of hawks in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Let the anointing of watchmen be poured upon them. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Do you have a question, Lloyd?
Not really a question. It's just a statement. You were talking about warning the wicked. That's in Ezekiel, you said, chapter 33. That's all I
want to
say.
Oh, you're just going to give me the reference. Okay, thank you. Anybody else have a question, statement, comment, anything?
You were talking about beating our swords into plowshares. In the book of Joel, at the end of the chapter, it's being reversed because they had that war. It says, take your plowshares and beat them into swords.
Right.
And your pruning hooks into spears.
Yeah. But God is saying in the end, in the final of all things, he desires peace. That he would rather change a person than kill them. He would rather change you than kill you. That's his preference. Your sin will kill you, not God.
I just want to say one thing. This, you, I'm sitting there listening when she's talking. And the whole time, and it was awesome. But I was thinking, this is for people that God is wanting to grow up, to mature, to establish, to be strong. This isn't just, there's a lot of churches where people can go that can be hilltop churches, like she was talking about. And they could go and they could be content to be at whatever level, but God is wanting to take the people here further. He's wanting to take the people here, make them stronger. We've seen, think about with me, we've seen America, and we've seen the church in America, and it doesn't have power, and it's not reaching the people, because the majority of the people are going to hell. Okay? And God is very much about releasing and revealing Jesus to this nation and to the people, and it's going to start here, but it's not just going to stay here, because we're already have sent out, and we're already, and there's going to be more, much more that are going to be sent out, and some of you are going to be sent out, and every one of you is going to be sent out in the way of just going, taking Jesus wherever you go. You know, I mean, I already hear reports of that, comes back to me all the time, of how what you're full of, you're going to talk about. There's a young man sitting in this room that has a heart for God. And he's talking in his backyard about Jesus. And his mom walks out and says, what are you doing? What I'm trying to say to you is, God is going to talk through everybody. He's going to talk through whatever you are full of. And you're going to get filled up. But this is not just like coming here, you know, for little, like she said, just splashing in the water. You know, we had a good time. This is some meat. And this isn't just like these women having these babies getting milk. This is meat that's going to help you grow and get solid.
We're going to play the rest of that CD. Dudley, if you can get that to the work, to the number where it was going more mellow. Shayla. Words were that powerful?
Yeah. Oh, when you were praying, you were saying it's not
I
just
said,
our words.
Human words, just words are not powerful. They have to have the anointing of God on them to be powerful. You're right. And the power of our tongue is life and death. But the reason that words are powerful is that a spirit takes them. Every word we speak can release God's spirit or the spirit of the devil. So if you have not been with God and you're not speaking what he wants you to speak, you may be releasing your words into the wrong spirit realm to take them. Well, you're driving down the road behind a car and you say, "You stupid moron, where'd you learn to drive?" And you think, "He can't hear me, what does it matter?" You've released that into the spirit realm, and the evil spirits will start telling that guy, "You're a stupid moron." They'll start telling him that because you released those words. You don't want to release words like that. Every word you speak, you're going to give account for. Every single word that comes out your mouth, you will give account before God. Because they go into the spirit realm, and spirits can carry them. But if you want powerful words to help people, then you need to speak what God tells you to speak. Jesus said, "I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do." Because he didn't want to release into the wrong spirit realm. It can have power if the spirits carry it. There's also the prophets that God said none of the words fell to the ground. Words can fall to the ground. I mean, I can stand here and say, "I don't like that color." And a demon may hear me say that and say, "So what? I don't need that word." And God says, "I don't need that word." That word just falls to the ground. Because nobody cared to carry it and do anything. But once you speak it, there is license for spirits to take those words and do what they want. So some of our words are just empty. They just fall to the ground because they have no power in spirit, bad or good. They're just empty nonsense babbling. And they have no power at all. But any evil word you speak, there will be an evil spirit ready to take it and hurt someone with it. So you're right, Don. I'm glad you brought that up because every word we speak can be empowered by the spirit realm. I don't know that I can find a scripture for this, but when I was praying about that, because when this hit me and the reality of it, I said, "Oh, God, the words I've spoken." And it's like, are the demons still using a word that I spoke 10 years ago? Are the demons still using it to beat someone up? Maybe they are. Maybe there's somebody somewhere who thinks he's a dumb moron because I said that on the road 10 years ago, and those spirits just keep telling him that. So what I did was I broke the power. I spoke the word of God and said, "I break the power of the words I spoke against that person. In the name of Jesus, stop that devil from using that word and speak truth into that person and replace that word with your truth." Now I've spoken that out, giving God's spirit permission to go to that person and break that curse and bring the blessing of God instead.
Exactly.
So send God after those words whenever he brings it to your mind that there's words out there that you've damaged with. Wayne? That would take some time to get into because we're going deep here. We're going deep. Let's say that Steve has sheltered himself. "God, I claim the word of God over me," and this thing comes and says, "Ignorant moron," and Steve goes, "I don't receive that. I don't receive that. God has told me I am not ignorant, and I don't receive that." And it just bounces off him because he will not receive it. But if somebody tries to put a curse on you, and you've got the protection of God over you in that area, then it can't rest on you. We've had missionaries that go into Africa, and the witch doctors are putting curses and voodoo, and those things are real. Harry Potter is not a funny little imagination thing. There are real witchcraft curses in that movie. Witches have said there are real curses in that movie that we don't even let witches use until they're 18 because they're dangerous and they're teaching them to children. That is a wicked, powerfully evil movie. So let's just say a missionary goes to Africa He's under the covering of God and protection of God, and that witch doctor sends a curse against him. It cannot rest on him. He's shielded. He's covered by God. Now, let's say that that missionary has a secret sin that he lusts after women. He sees women and he lets his mind think about it and lust after her. Now, if that witch doctor puts a curse against him that has anything to do with lust, it can get into him because he's got an opening. He's got a crack where he's not covered because he's giving himself to a certain sin. Whatever sin you give yourself to leaves you unprotected. If you willingly give yourself to a sin, you are uncovered in that area. And words spoken can come against you in that area. That's why we want God to plow deep, uncover everything, get everything open, get rid of what's the devil, and set up guards and protect us. We watchmen, we want to protect people that don't know how to do that yet. We watch over them and do that for them. I watch people, I've gone to big church services, and I've seen people go out and pray over somebody, and I've heard them begin to pray something where the Spirit said, don't let that go into the person. And I will say, block that, Holy Spirit, block that. Don't let it go in. Because they're unguarded in that area, and they would have received it. But God had me as a watchman, block it. Stop those words. Don't let it be received. By the way, just a hint, I'm careful who prays over me. I'm very careful when people pray over me. But always, even if it's my best friends and my husband, I always, somebody says, can I pray for you? Yep, God said you can pray for me. God, I ask you to put a filter over me that what is of you will come through. What is not of you for me, block it. I don't receive it. I always pray a filter over myself to only receive what God wants me to receive. Because all of us are human and all of us make mistakes, you know. So cover yourself. Guard yourself. Any other questions? While this music plays, if you need to come up and surrender your life today, if you need to come up and just lay down before the Lord and say, here I am, God. I'm giving you everything. Plow deep. I want to be restored to who you created me to be. I want nothing else in my life but to serve you, live with you, love you, know you. I want to be on that mountain of your presence. If that's your need today, just come up and kneel or lay before the Lord. If you need us to pray with you, stand here and we will come and pray with you. If you just want to get alone with God, come and kneel. If you don't even know Jesus personally in a real way, come and stand and let us know that so we can help you to meet Jesus. Go ahead.
My love, I wrapped my hair around him, and the fragrance drifted up. I didn't even notice when the beast began to jump. His love is out of this world, and I'm totally undone. He's alive. He's alive, and I've only just begun to worship him. He's alive.